and Avocastrians, welcome to your Jetstream. For this week, we're going to be reviewing the away fixture to Wellington Phoenix in round 16, and then we're going to be previewing round 17 at home against Western United. Also quickly chatting over the W League loss to Perth Glory, as well as previewing the Jets versus Adelaide game as well. Welcome, whether you're listening to us via Football Nation Radio or via streaming with NewcastleFootball.net or via Spotify and TuneIn or via download through Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean or any of the other various podcatcher apps. Welcome. If you are downloading, we do apologise for not having the podcast available Wednesday morning, but Tuesday night when we went to do our recording, there was storms and stuff through the Hunter Valley. There was too much chance of there being a blackout while we were recording, and it just would have been a useless endeavor. So we postponed it for 24 hours, and we're doing this on Wednesday evening to release Thursday morning just before it goes live on Football Nation Radio. So apologies to those who missed the download yesterday, but you are getting it only 24 hours late. We did decide to actually do a podcast this week. So welcome. Also welcome to my guest tonight who's joining me. It's just the two of us tonight. This is Ferns, and I'm joined by Andy. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Welcome to the what's come as the Dave and Andy show. It's great to have another guest. So let's get into it. Apologise for any echoes. I've had some technical difficulties with the old headphones. Apparently they only last a year until you've got to buy another set. So off we go.
Yeah, it's all going to be fun. All right, so opening question before we get into it, and a question without notice. Obviously, I didn't let you know we were going to do this before we started. With the release of Star Trek Picard, and obviously the sequels to the Star Wars universe, all the stuff from our youth is all coming back, and they're doing continuations. What's a TV or movie series from the past that you'd like to see continued on? Not a reboot, but bringing back the same characters with some new people and continuing the story on.
Yeah, one for me, I was having this conversation with the missus a couple of days ago. I'd like to see the TV show Prison Break come back. They did another season of it where they sort of bring everyone back from the dead and all this sort of stuff. And, yeah, it'd be good to see a follow-on from that. I believe that they are doing that, but you hear all sorts of things over, you know, the interwebs, so it'd be good to actually see it.
Yeah. Who knows if it's actually true. Did he actually end up breaking out at the end, or is he still in prison?
Oh, he always breaks out. It's kind of like a Disney movie. You always know that he's going to get his way, but the guy just can't die, apparently.
It's like a John Farnham concert. It's always supposed to be the last one, and then he crops up again. All right. Well, for me, the humorous one that I thought of immediately was the Golden Girls, mainly to just be Betty White sitting on a couch going, "Where the F is everybody?" Because obviously all the other characters that used to be in the Golden Girls have actually passed on. She's the only one still alive and kicking. With regards to a serious sort of answer, I don't really have one. All the ones that I've wanted to see, I mean, Star Trek was the one I'd like to actually see come back, and I'm really pleased that they decided to do the Picard series, because that was obviously one of the best parts of the whole Star Trek thing. But yeah, it's probably a bit late in the day to be trying to do a continuation with Kirk and half of the other ones, considering half of them, well, most of them are dead now, not all of them, but yeah, they've certainly done quite well with the Star Trek Picard series. It's watched the first episode of that, and I was quite impressed. But yeah, if you've got any serious or humorous answers of TV shows or movies from the past you'd like to see brought back and do a continuation, drop us a note on Twitter or via the Facebook page. All right, so we're going to quickly talk over the games that took place and the games to come up. Andy, the away game, obviously, the one that I always look forward to is the Wellington away fixture. It's been quite a popular away trip to do, because it's an international trip that you don't usually get in a domestic league, which is a great experience. Unfortunately, I haven't been on one of the away trips in a couple of seasons now. I'm hoping that's going to line up my roster and everything next season to actually be able to go back again. But is it a fixture you look forward to, or is because of our a fairly poor showings away, is it another one of those that fill you with dread, like a away trip to Perth?
Yeah, well, it's never really a place that we do well at, that's for sure. But the only real downside to this game was the time that it kicked off in Australia to be a Friday 5:15 kickoff. I have to admit that I was still,
that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I was still driving home and kind of had the, you know, trying to find a radio broadcast, which wasn't really a thing.
No, I couldn't find it. I was at work trying to find one myself, and couldn't find nothing on ABC. I don't know what's happening with ABC being the radio home of the A League, but that hasn't really come off. You used to be able to listen to all the games, but seems to only be the home games.
Yeah, and I had to resort to as legally as I can, putting Foxtel Go on my phone through my Bluetooth, and then sitting it in like the pocket down the side of the seat to even just be able to listen to the audio. So that's not the greatest thing for, and sure, you could argue that it's, you know, a long way to send people to cover the game, but Fox Sports do it all the time when they play in Tajikistan and whatever else there is. Like, they sit in the studio in Sydney and talk through the game, so surely ABC can do that.
Yeah, we think so, but I don't know whether Wellington have a radio broadcaster over there. So usually ABC would, I think in seasons past, used to pick up the radio feed from over in New Zealand, but I don't know whether they actually have one at the moment. And yeah, like I said, it's a bit difficult getting it over here, but usually the home games are on, which is good to listen to. But especially if I'm at work, but just radio coverage seems to be a bit patchy. They seem to assume most people want to watch it either on their phones or on the TV. But it's just, yeah, this may be something that the A-League needs to look at doing. I mean, looking at this game overall, obviously we had a fairly good showing, I thought, in the first half, right up until the injury to Lockie Jackson. And then even then, I thought we still played fairly well. I've been a little bit removed from the whole watching the Jets thing in the last couple of weeks, actually since Ernie got sacked. So was the 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 formation that he played in this game, was that something that you've seen before, or was that something that Dean's tried in this game?
It's not something I've seen the Jets do before, but certainly refreshing to see it. I always wondered how Lockie Jackson would fit back into the squad once Bugard was available, because obviously you want his experience and he can show up for the right games, Nigel Bugard. So to fit him in a back three and with essentially wing backs or wide midfielders, whatever you want to call them, of Bobby Burns and Matt Miller, it certainly gave an opportunity to allow those players to get wide and, you know, move forward and still have that screen in coverage to cover if, you know, there was a few times where Jugarkovic would drop back and stuff like that. So I was really excited about it as a formation, and it was good to see.
All right, sorry about that. We seem to have a minor technical glitch there. We've still got the beginning of the recording, so we'll just continue on with our conversation, Andy. You were saying before you couldn't recall us doing a back three at any stage, but I do remember Ernie tried it for, I think, about, what was it, 10, 15 minutes of a Melbourne City game, where we ended up shipping a couple of goals really early on, and then he reverted back to our normal formation of a back four. That was the only time I can remember that back three actually being used. But I agree with you. I actually think that it was always going to be interesting to see what happened with Lockie Jackson. I think everybody assumed that he'd drop back to the bench and we'd go with if Bugard was going to start, we'd go back to a back four. But I actually quite like the look of the 3-4-3. And I thought and I don't know whether it was Wellington weren't playing well or it was the way we were playing. We seemed to have the better of at least the first half and probably part of the second until they scored.
Yeah, and one of the points I was making before our dropout was just that I wasn't excited about the concept of Lockie Jackson simply losing his spot for Bugard to come in and going to the back three, having Matt Miller and Bobby Burns being able to play on the wide sides, just allowed for those two players to get up and use their pace a bit more, but also found a spot for Lockie in the lineup. And unfortunately, that may not be an issue going forward for the rest of the season, but at least for this week, they were able to get him in there.
Well, it was the other thing that was quite interesting as well. I think, you know, I could hear the social media groans as soon as Johnny Katrumbas came on, but I actually thought the young lad, apart from one misplaced pass that he had, I think, with his first or second touch, the rest of the game, he slotted into that back three really well. And it just goes to show this is a player that does actually know how to play football, but the reason he's been copping so much hate is because he's been played in a fullback position, which is not his natural position. The kid's a defender. He's much more much more suited to the position that he was being played in as obviously a central defender, or in the midfield is where we've also seen him. But I actually thought the back three of Topol, Bugard and Katrumbas did really well.
Yeah, I thought maybe we would have seen Canner drop back and play as part of that, but Katrumbas, I have heaped stuff on him from time to time, but one thing that you've absolutely got to give to the bloke is he will always have a place in this squad whilst he's so versatile. I think he's played just about every position in one way or another and done a job, so he'll
just needs to stick the gloves on to play as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, which I'm sure now may not be too far off if we
Yeah, with the news on Glenn Moss retiring at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm sure Italiano's only one or two red cards away from a few weeks off, so see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll quickly go over the stats for this game. Obviously, we talked about the lineup, and I think pretty much the only change we saw was Bugard coming in. We kept with Arroyo up front with Hoffman and Petrados, Dimi in behind, Canner and Stevie in the midfield, and like you mentioned, Burns and Miller pushed up out wide with the back three, and obviously Luis Italiano in goals. Like I said, Johnny Katrumbas came on in the 25th minute when Lockie Jackson went off with that injury. Did we heard anything about how long we might think Lockie might be out?
I've been hearing that it's definitely in his knee, whether it's an ACL or what, they're not sure. But it's looking like the rest of the season, although I think it was Monday or might have even been yesterday morning when Deansy did his press conference for the week, he said that they hadn't even gotten him scanned yet, which is a bit concerning. You'd think they would have been straight to a hospital in Wellington, if not as soon as they got back. They would have even gone somewhere in Sydney, done the scan, seen what they were looking at in case any further damage could be done. I'm not quite sure if that's possible with that sort of stuff, but you'd think it'd be best to know what you're dealing with and deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looking at the stats, possession was actually 55 to the Jets, 45 to Wellington Phoenix, 55% of dual success, 45% for the Phoenix. Pretty even on the aerial duels, interceptions even, two offsides to Wellington Phoenix. We had 12 corners to their six, 475 passes to Wellington's 409. Passing accuracy, 83 to 77, 33 crosses to the Jets, 10 to the 10 to the Phoenix, two goals to one, obviously, 28 shots to 12, 28 shots to the Jets, seven of those were on target, four for Phoenix, 11 block shots to four, nine shots from outside the box to six, 19 from inside the box, so I think all of those were, well, most of those were in that one passage of play where we nearly scored. Tackles 25 to 14, Jets obviously. Clearances 35 to the Phoenix, 13 to us. Seven fouls conceded to the Jets, 14 to the Wellington Phoenix. A lot of those stats are in our favour, especially in the attacking sense. It's really probably one of those games and one of those cliches where it's one of those games where the one team is sort of dominated, but the other team sort of taken their two chances and come away with the win. And, you know, the Jets sitting down the bottom of the ladder and hoping to try and build some confidence, walk away with nothing. But the only thing they can really lean on is it was a good performance, which was mentioned in commentary. I can't really see that it was mentioned on social media because looking at the posts and stuff after the game, but without actually having watched the match or watched it a couple of days later, I thought, oh, we played horribly and what am I going to be sitting here watching? But I was actually really really heartened by the performance, if not the result, obviously. We can't really hang much on the result. But I if we keep playing like that every week, we're definitely going to get some sort of reward sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things is that, Marinovic or whatever his name is, the goalkeeper for Wellington, we absolutely played him into form through this game. So it's definitely interesting that those stats and that we had so many shots but didn't come away with it.
Yeah, definitely. And that was another thing I wanted to highlight as well. He had a couple of really top-class saves. There was one that I specifically remember from Thurgate outside the box. It was going into the top of the net where it was tipped over by him. It was one of those times we were hoping we were going to be able to get something from it, but he tipped the ball over the bar, and I think that was in injury time as well. You're right. The goalkeeper from their side definitely saved them the 3 points where we could have maybe walked away with one, and felt that was the very least we deserved from the match. But he has a blinder and we walk away with nothing.
Yeah, definitely one of those games where you think we should have got something more out of it, but it's a game where the smallest bit of counterattack and it's a completely different story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and the way we played, I saw a lot more of the press than I'd recall seeing at any point during this season. That was going to be my good for this game. I was really impressed with the style of play and the formation that we played. I think we can probably look at maybe going the same way against Western United this week. But did you have anything different to pick for your good for this week?
No, I think I would definitely agree with that. The fact that they were able to continue pushing in, that all the players seemed to be keen to chase the ball in and were really just getting into position to take opportunities when they come was definitely someone clearly put a rocket up them for the game where we usually struggle.
Did you have a bad for this game?
Jason Hoffman.
Okay, I was going to have him as my undecided, but why was it just because of that miss?
Yeah, I think to have a, like, you look at, there was one stat I was looking at, big chances created, 2 to the Jets, 1 to Wellington, and you think how many of those was he involved in? And I don't know what it is. Normally he would bury those kind of shots, no worries. But of late, it's just seemed to be I don't know whether it's a no confidence thing or what's really going on.
Yeah, maybe he needs to do some practice with Joel Griffiths in training to try and get that sharpness back. But I didn't really have a bad. I suppose the only thing I could really highlight would be just momentary lapses in defense, which is what allowed the 2 goals to go in. Obviously we had the goal scored. Like I said, we were playing really well. Fatale then brings on Soterio early on in the second half, and he was the player that scored the first goal. It was a high ball. I think it was probably about 40 or 50 yards out from our box that Topol got the header to, but it went straight to a Phoenix player. They broke with players, and then a nice cutout pass that chopped out about probably four players that could have cut it out straight to Sotirio, who broke into the box. Left obviously Katrumbas was on his heels. There's not much he could do about that. I don't really lay any of the blame at Katrumbas's feet. I think that our two screeners probably could have done a little bit better with that and been a little bit more awake to try and close those passing lanes down. But Sotirio gets into the box and then slides the ball past Italiano to score the first. And then Davila gets a ball in the box that I think it was a shot from outside that ricocheted off one of our players and was just unlucky to go straight to Davila, who then puts the ball away in the 69th minute. So just those momentary lapses in defensive concentration, I think, is what I would probably highlight as a bad. And those sorts of things come with confidence, I think. If we're, you know, we're halfway up the table, I think we're not letting those chances get created as much. The players are a little bit more, players are in a bit of a funk at the moment, and it's probably going to take something special to shake them out of it. But that's sort of what I highlighted as the bad for this game. And like I said, my undecided for this match was going to be Hoffey. You know, great player, local lad, did really well in that season. We made the grand final, but He's low on confidence and out of form. I think that we've seen what happened with Johnny Katrumbas when he lost his place to Burns and then come back in. He looked really good in this game, and he definitely in media interviews this week has said that time out of the starting 11 did him the world of good. It sort of, you know, shook a little bit of sense into him, and he's definitely looked a lot better. And I think that's possibly something that could happen with Hoffey. We might need to maybe drop him back to the bench, or give him a couple of weeks off just to get his head right. And it's sort of one of those. We can either see Thurgate or Fitzgerald take his spot in the wide attacking sense. Do you agree with that, or do you think that we should probably stick with him?
I definitely think that there would be argument for giving him a couple of weeks off, but the thing with Hoffey is that he could come out and just everything could click on the day, and he could score three or four like that. So such a hard thing with him on whether or not it is, you know, right to leave him out. But I definitely think, totally agree. It's a confidence thing that he's almost like the ball that he put straight over, you know, and almost landed back here in Newcastle. that one was just, you know, the usual leaning back straight away. I think he almost was in that position and got kind of stage fright and forgot what to do in that circumstance. Like, it was, and again, easy for us to criticize when we're not out there in the heat of the moment, but all it looked like was a simple control and pick your corner, and he's tried to do first time and it's gone
just didn't set himself. It almost looked like he wasn't quite didn't quite have his feet right. It's almost like he was a little bit, the ball was slightly behind him. So he was sort of when he got contact, he was sort of under it a little bit too much. If it had not been as advanced, or the ball was played a little bit further forward in front of him, he probably would have had a better connection, and he probably wouldn't have skied it. But you know, it's hindsight. 2020 hindsight's a wonderful thing, but he's getting a lot of stick. Seems to be now that Katrumbas has been out for a couple of weeks, Hoffey's been the latest whipping boy. But I think that he's still got something to offer, but he definitely needs to. Something needs to change with him. I don't know whether he goes back in defence, or whether he takes a couple of, he gets dropped down to the bench for a couple of weeks and gives someone else a go, who's hungry. Especially, you know, like I said, young Thurgate has performed well when called upon. Obviously, hasn't scored as much, but you know, these sorts of players are going to need to be given a chance. And if it's not working, we need to change things around, because we're only getting. We're only getting further away from the Mariners in 10th position while we're sitting in 11th. So we definitely need to change some things around. It was good to see that we did actually come back to draw level before that second goal went in. We managed to get the ball to Arroyo, and he put the ball away in the 66th minute. He's a player that obviously we've sorely missed, and it's one of those players in the poacher in the box that, you know, when those sorts of balls break to him, he's going to put those away. And this is the reason why we haven't scored in the last, I think we went goalless for, I think, about five games in a row. But having Arroyo back, and now that he's finally put the ball in the back of the net, hopefully that means that he'll be able to answer with a few more goals in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it was definitely a calm and collected sort of move from Arroyo to wait patiently and see what came from the ball. I think he was planning to get it across to his feet, but I believe it took a bit of a deflection off someone else and then was right there for him to just put his foot through. And you could see from the guy just how happy he is to score. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Jair when he scored and went running, you know, a lap around the field sort of thing. Like, you can see that it means a lot to the guy to be able to score goals for the team. And I just hope that he gets a few more.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that like we said, that win still leaves us at the bottom of the table on 9 points, 4 points behind Central Coast and 5 points behind Western Sydney. Wellington Phoenix find themselves in fourth position on 24 points and sort of breaking away a little bit from the three teams chasing them, Adelaide, Western United and Brisbane Roar. So they're sort of having a season, Andy, that we had in that first season of Ernie Marrick, where we made the grand final there. They were playing well until the last two games. You could argue that they didn't play the game we played them against very well at all, but still managed to get away with it. We had that happen a couple of times to us. We had all the luck going our way, and we just didn't have anything in this game. You're seeing a few parallels with Wellington Phoenix and our grand final season?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just the ability to, you know, they're stringing together some performances at the start of the year. They didn't do so great, and they've gelled as a team now. And you can see, like, the teams that they either beat or hold out against, they play a really good style of football. And I guess with, you know, their coach coming through the Sydney system and being there to learn under, you know, Graham Arnold and all those other people, he plays a very similar system that just seems to work in the A-League. And it's interesting that as much as you don't want every team to play the same style of football, it's certainly interesting that no one else is really looking at the Sydney way and going, well, how do we sort of copy that or make our own rendition of that? The sad thing for Wellington now, though, is with success, he's like, Ofutele's name is already being thrown around for, you know, vacancies like Melbourne Victory and Western Sydney and all this sort of stuff. Like, he's doing well, so everyone's straight away looking at where he can go next. And I don't feel as though Wellington should be looked at as a stepping stone for your coaching career. Until they, you know, grow the metrics, as David Gallup used to say, people are going to go there because they're not going to necessarily attract the big money, big profile coach. So why not go there for a couple of years, get your feet wet, and then come back to a more prestigious club?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's on a 2-year contract at the Phoenix anyway, but I'm pretty sure that was the same story with Mark Rudin, and that didn't last any longer than the 12 months. And you talked about the Phoenix's metrics. Obviously, they're doing well now. There was 8,500 in attendance at the game on the weekend, where they were averaging, I think, 5,500 to 6,000. So they're definitely looking up. It'd be interesting to know what their TV ratings are. Just occurred to me, I don't know whether I asked you for your undecided for this game. Did you give me that or not?
No, I didn't, but I don't think I really had one.
What was it?
I guess my undecided would be, you know, how it looks as though in this game watching the highlights back just before coming on the pod, it looked as though, you know, 10 more minutes we might have gotten something out of this game. Just really looking at, like, Newcastle usually starts strong, and the games where unless we put it in the back of the net within the first 20 minutes, you really start to wonder when it's going to turn and how we're going to lose this game. So it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks before a new coach comes in, how, if Deansy does line up the same way and what we get out of it.
All right. Who is your man of the match?
Oh, I would have to say Arroyo. I think that he did well to be in the positions that he was in and to, yeah, actually get a goal and show that it was possible was a big thing for me.
Yep, absolutely. After watching the game, I thought that Nigel Burgard performed really well in a game where he's been in where he's been missing for weeks on end with an injury, and we weren't even sure whether he was going to come back at all. There was rumours going around that he was didn't know whether he was going to be able to recover from the injury. It was great to see him back, and he just stepped straight in and was the leader that we'd been missing for weeks on end. So I actually gave it to Nigel Burgard, and everybody else seemed to agree with us, because I think from what I remember from our Jetstream chat, Dave said that the points were shared between the top votes went to both Arroyo and Burgard. So well done on both of those guys, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. We'll talk about that this coming game. We'll talk about that in a minute, but we'll quickly cover off the W League game that took place with the Jets women, unfortunately, going down at home to Perth Glory, 4-2. I didn't actually see this game. So, Andy, what did you see?
Yeah, so I caught bits of it. Again, another one of those games, similar as what I just said with the men's team, if there was another probably 20 minutes, I confidently think we would have ended up either winning this game or getting at least a 4-4 draw. It just started slow. Perth Glory were able to get a few, like, bordering on underbastard goals, and that just set the mood. I don't know what the crowd figure was. It looked very empty because of the fact that obviously the way McDonald Jones is now set up, all the cameras face
828 was the official attendance.
Yeah, so when you looked at the telecast, you obviously have the cameras facing the eastern stand, and I believe they only had the western stand open. So it didn't look too great, but it's a good that. And interesting that they did play that game there. I don't know the back.
Yeah, instead of number two, considering number two is supposed to be the women's home ground, and the fact that we weren't playing at McDonald Jones Stadium, I thought that the only time they would have played the women there would have been as part of a doubleheader. It was definitely interesting to have them there on their own.
Well, knowing some people that are in, like, stadium management and whatever there, there's an agreement where they have to have a certain level of staffing in case, you know, there's 20,000 walk-ups. Even financially it wouldn't have been very viable for the club, and I was always under the impression that part of the council sponsorship was pretty much through in-kind donation of number two being available. Not sure the story there, but, yeah, we saw there was the original goal from, I think it was Lauren Allen, which she just, pretty much dug in and had a run and managed to get something out of it. And then obviously the Tessa Tamplin goal that is up there for goal of the year, because she got it over on the sideline, bit past halfway, and decided to have a crack. And as soon as she hit it, you could tell that, well, everyone thought it was going over, and then it dipped and went into the top corner.
Just dropped in. Yeah, that was in the 75th minute. The Lauren Allen one was in the 83rd. But, yeah, that's definitely been replaying that Tamplin goal on been doing the rounds on social media. That was, probably one of the goals of the W League season.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you caught her interview with Fox after the game.
I did.
Which was just absolutely, you have to love live TV. And, she I think is a quality player that doesn't get enough sort of praise for the job that she does. One interesting thing from the W League, though, is Tegan Collister doesn't seem to be able to run out the full 90 minutes. She always either starts and goes off at about 60, 70, or she comes on and runs the second half of that. So it'll be interesting to see how she progresses over the rest of the season. But as I've said every week now, the W League, you almost write this season off, but you don't in the way that they need to keep playing, keep performing, doing their best. And I think in a few years, hopefully with one or two key additions, we'll be finally looking at finals football for the W League.
Yeah, definitely. That loss left the Jets down the bottom of the ladder, but on equal points with Adelaide United. There would be goal difference that the only reason they're above us. We're both on 4 points, 1 point behind Perth Glory on five, and then along 5 points away, another 5 points away from Canberra United, who are on 10. So the bottom three are pretty much set. It's a bit of a battle for the top four there. It's Brisbane Roar on 14 and Melbourne Victory on 17. So unless Melbourne start losing some games, I think that top four is pretty much set. But the interesting thing for us is the game coming up next in the W League is the Jets versus Adelaide United. The game we played against Perth was the round 11 game. This upcoming game against Adelaide is the round 9 game. I'm assuming that's the rescheduled game from the postponement due to the smoke a couple of weeks ago. That's going to be played on Saturday the 1st, 7:30 p.m. at McDonald Jones Stadium. That's going to be after the Jets game against Western United. I'm just double-checking that. Yes, that's correct. So hopefully they'll have a number of people hang around after the Jets game finish, the Jets men's finish, to hang around for the women's game. It's interesting playing that in reverse. Usually it's the women playing first and then the men. It'll be interesting to see what the crowd figure is going to be for the women's game for that. So obviously, like I mentioned, Andy, the Adelaide team are also down near the bottom of the ladder. In the W League, this is probably one fixture we should be targeting to hopefully get 3 points in, and we'd be able to jump a couple of places.
Yeah, well, we play Adelaide and then we play Melbourne Victory and then we play Adelaide again, whereas if they have us, Canberra United, and then us again. So it'll be interesting last three rounds to see how that goes. And Perth play, you know, all the heavy hitters. They play Brisbane, Sydney FC and Western Sydney. So we could go as high as seventh if we can pull together a couple of wins. But I can't really see us going, or I think it's almost, whilst it's still mathematically possible, it'd probably be bordering on impossible to pass Canberra, because you would imagine they would get something out of the game against Adelaide that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so obviously with that win, Perth Glory were on the bottom of the ladder, but they leapfrogged us. But like I said, they're only 1 point ahead. So we can get a win in this game and then hopefully get some good results. Even a couple of draws would probably do well for us in the remaining couple of games. There's only a few rounds left. So if the girls can string some wins together or some results together with the performances, it's a little bit like the men's. We've been performing well for the most part, but not being able to get the results, mainly due to the lack of quality in our squad. But if the coaching staff can manage to pull the players together and just dig in and hopefully be able to take advantage of the playing team's the playing team's dynamic, we might hopefully be able to get something out of the next couple of games. How do you think we'll go in this upcoming game against Adelaide?
I think for the game against Adelaide, for the women, if they start well, we'll get something out of it, but I think it'll be a close game, probably a 2-1 victory to the Jets.
Yep, I'm hoping for a 2-0 win for me. We're the only W League game this weekend, so there's nothing really to talk about. The guys will preview the round 12 fixtures in next week's episode. So we'll jump straight to the A League now, like I mentioned before, sees the Jets hosting Western United, McDonald Jones Stadium. That game kicks off at 5 p.m. Like I said, the W League game kicks off at 7:30. Look, Andy, the Western United guys are sitting in sixth, but only a point ahead of Brisbane, who are having somewhat of a resurgence in the last couple of weeks. And Western United are pretty much doing what I picked at the beginning of the season. I thought that they'd start well, and they did. But since Christmas, they've really sort of come off the boil and had some fixtures where they look like they should come away with something, come away with nothing, or a couple of games where they played really poorly and that didn't look like they should deserve anything. So this is a game where the Jets should be targeting a team that's a little bit out of form. Definitely got some good players there, but we play like we played against Wellington Phoenix, who were, 4 points and two places above Western United. Hopefully we'll be able to get something out of this.
Yeah, and I think they'll definitely take the confidence into the game that we did beat them the last time we played them. Hopefully the home sort of advantage and the crowd behind them will make a difference. Totally agree with the point you made about Western United. I thought that they would always come in and do well with the squad that they have and would be one of the teams fighting out for that last spot in the top six. So, yeah, definitely think we can get something out of this if we go in with the right mindset and take the game to them like we did when we played them last time.
Which of their players do we need to watch out for? Obviously, Diamante is always a player that it shows a lot of class in every game he plays, but it seems to be him and not much else around him. They've lost Scott McDonald to Brisbane Roar, so that's one less goal scorer that we have to worry about. Are there any other players we need to look out for from Western United?
Yeah, obviously they've got Bessart Berisha, who has played very well. I think last week he scored two of their three, so, and he's been scoring pretty consistently over the last couple of weeks. Like, he got, another two the week before that and another two the week before that, if I'm not mistaken. So the bloke can definitely score. So we need to look out for him because he also this week.
All right, we just had another dropout. Apologies for that. We're not quite sure what's going on there, but we'll continue on and finish off the recording. You were saying that Bessart Berisha is one of those players that we definitely need to watch out for. Were there any others?
No, I think he's one of the main ones. He just loves to show up against the Jets, so he'd be the one to look out for, I'd feel.
Are you hoping that we're going to continue with the same formation we played in the Wellington Phoenix, or do you think we're going to revert back to the back three, our back four?
I think we have to keep the same, to hold Wellington, the team that are way up there and incredibly competitive, to such a close scoreline. You have to keep it the same. I don't see how you would change that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Katrumba starts and they just carry on as they did.
Yep, all right. Do you think we will see what we were talking about earlier on in the pod with maybe a change coming in, maybe dropping Hoffman to the bench and bringing someone else in for some fresh legs to partner Arroyo and Dinny?
I could see it. I could also see if the rumours are true that Wes Houlihan might sort of make some form of appearance in this game.
You stole my thunder. I was saving that good news.
But if that was to be the case, then maybe Hoffy starts and Wes comes on, or vice versa. I don't think it would be very wise to bring Wes on when everyone's – it could go one of two ways. Do you bring him on to start when everyone's full of energy and more likely to go hard, or do you bring him on at the end when players are going to get frustrated and just start sort of kicking out and conceding early and easy fouls? So I'd like to see it, but at the same time he's – I think weeks ahead of schedule, so
yeah,
it's a bit of a bit of a risk, but people get paid far more than you and I combined.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, like you said, Wes is rumored to possibly play some part in the game this week. I'd like to see him on the bench. I'd like to see Hoffie drop back to the bench just to give him a bit of a rest and to bring in either Fitzgerald or Thurgate, maybe Thurgate. And it would be nice, I think. I can't remember all the way back to that preseason game where Wes was playing before he got injured, what team and what formations we were playing then. But I think bringing him on in the latter stages of an A-League game where the opposition are probably going to be a bit more tired, he's going to have a bit more space to be able to play around in that midfield area or attacking midfield area. It's something that I'm really excited to see. I'm thinking that maybe looks bring him on 75 minutes and maybe for Dimi. I'm not sure whether we want to keep Dimi on and have multiple attacking options. Because I mean, if you pull Arroyo off and bring Houlihan on, then you're having to stick someone else in up front. That might be what you look at doing with Hoffie, put him on the bench and then bring him on for Arroyo, and taking off whoever comes in out wide for him to bring Houlihan on. So yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, and it will be great to see. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll hopefully be able to see Wes on Saturday. Are you thinking it's going to be pretty much the same team? You didn't see any issues with Matty Miller or Bobby Burns? Obviously, we did announce the signing of O'Toole during the week, who's a recognised Oliveroos left back, and the mail is that Burns is not going to remain after the end of his loan period from Hearts beyond the end of the season, so we're signing him for the future. But do you think he might be a player? Obviously, he's just come from qualifying for the Olympics for next year. Do you think that might be an option? That's another player where we hopefully be able to see make an appearance off the bench if Bobby's back in that Australian heat and can't last the full 90. He did quite well over in the nice, cool, windy conditions over in New Zealand, but you think he's going to be able to last the full 90 in this game?
Yeah, I said on the pod a couple of weeks back that I don't really buy into this whole Bobby can't handle the heat thing, because he's had a few games now where he's really ran for majority of the time and almost put in more effort than a lot of other players on the field, in my opinion. But yeah, I am excited that we've gone and looked at Connor O'Toole and brought in a player that has got some, you know, reputation being in the Joeys or whatever. And yeah, hopefully he can be that player that can come in and really sort of make that left back position his own. We haven't had anyone since Georgescu left that has really been able to take that position and make it their own. So if you can do that, and it also, I'm not sure exactly the structure that they've done his deal on, but I would imagine he'd fit one of the cap concessions for, you know, a young player that's at a certain level. So it could be a good piece of business by the club.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we've talked over tactics and starting lineups. So what do you think the score is going to be at the end of 90 minutes?
I think we are going to come away also the same as the W League, a 2-1 victory. And I wouldn't be shocked if Angus Thurgate gets the second goal in a similar circumstance to what he did last time.
Yep. I'm hoping for a 2-0 win, but I'm leaning the same way as you. We always seem to be shipping at least a goal. So I think, like you, it's going to be a 2-1 win to the Jets, and hopefully get a little bit of confidence through the team. And depending on what you tip for the Mariners, hopefully you'll be closing up that gap down the bottom of the league. So like I said, the Jets sitting in 11th position on 9 points, Central Coast 10th position, 13 points, Western United 6th position, 20 points. We're obviously not going to catch them, but it'd be really nice to gain some ground on Central Coast and be able to not be so far away from the teams ahead of us. All right, we'll quickly go over the rest of round 17. Sydney FC hosting Brisbane Roar Friday night, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. What do you think the score is going to be here? I think it's probably going to be Sydney bringing Brisbane back down to earth with a 3-0 win.
See, I think Brisbane might get something out of this and be a 2-2 draw.
Robbie would definitely be loving to hear you. All right, that's definitely going to be an interesting fixture. Saturday after our game concludes, Adelaide United is hosting Melbourne City. Second place, fifth. Adelaide United down in fifth, Melbourne City up in second spot, but not really looking as settled as they have been. I actually think this could be the one that can end up in a draw. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Yeah, I'll agree. I was going to go with an Adelaide win, but I just see too many gaps at the moment. And I don't think Melbourne City, they've still got their swings and roundabouts of this season to go through, and they just don't have that consistency in performance yet.
Yep. And the late game, there's three games on Saturday. The late game, 9:45 p.m. kickoff over in Perth. Perth hosting Melbourne Victory. Melbourne Victory managing to do what the Jets couldn't and beating Kashima Antlers to qualify for the group stages of the Asian Champions League, bastards. But obviously that's going to be three games in the space of 7 days. So what do we think Perth will be able to – I think Perth will be able to do Melbourne Victory. They haven't looked as good in the league. I think probably Perth in this one, 3-1.
Yeah, I would have to say I feel Perth have still got another gear to go up, so I'm going to call it a Bodes and go for a 4-0.
Wow, okay. And Sunday is 4 p.m. kickoff, Central Coast hosting Western Sydney Wanderers. 4-0 Western Sydney Bode special. What do you reckon?
Yeah, something with our position on the ladder, you've got to really ask. I think the biggest thing at this point in the season is how important to the club is an FFA Cup run, and I believe it's from next season they have the whole, if you finish last or might even be the bottom two, have to go through qualifiers to actually get into the FFA Cup. So hopefully that motivates something in our team to get a result. But in this game, I'm going to say another 2-2 draw because I just don't feel that Western Sydney have got it together at the moment, and Central Coast seem to be able to play for something. If it's not,
don't know what it is, but they're playing for something.
Yeah, old Cry Roll seems to be good at scoring, just in the wrong goal. So,
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Hopefully, they Western Sydney can do the business, and we can close that gap at the bottom of the table. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it all up. Thanks very much for everyone for joining us, and Andy, to you as well. Thank you very much for joining us.
No worries at all, Ferns. And one last bit of news that came out was Glenn Moss announcing his retirement at season end. So he obviously had his injury and then has decided that the body's just not up to it. So definitely been a servant to the club. And there was talks a few years ago that he would, or last year, that he would maybe go into a coaching role. Not sure what will happen there, but hopefully we can bring someone in, or Noah James gets a bit more of a run, and that we know that's a thing now, and the new coach, whoever that is, if Anthony gets his way, then Carl Robinson can work with a new goalkeeping lineup from the minute he comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, a huge thanks from everybody to Glenn Moss. Hopefully we do see him before the end of the season. He's been a great servant for us, and all we can do is thank him very much for his service, and really appreciate it, and hopefully he does stick around. That does wrap everything up. So thanks very much, Andy. Really appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Have a good night.
You as well. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. Like I said, on Football Nation Radio via the podcast, you can check us out and subscribe to us via your podcast app. Just plug in Jetstream Podcast in whatever podcast app you're using. Like I said, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple, Google, they're all, it's, we're available on pretty much any platform. If you want to drop us a line, we're on the available on the socials at Jetstream Newey, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or if you want to drop us an email, it's podcast@newcastlefootball.net. All right, thanks very much for listening, guys. Really appreciate it. And until next week, go the Jets.
Go the Jets. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.